The Lord has laid on your heart a word for the church, a vision, an expression, a scripture that you believe God is speaking to us. You're more than welcome to come forward and just to submit that and share that with the church. Father, I just want to thank you that we can come into your presence with a longing for your return. That we can humble ourselves before you as the creator of the universe, yet knowing that you love us so much. That you were willing to come to us to redeem us. So that we may have this hope in our hearts of your return, that we will be with you forever. And so, Lord, we come to you also this morning, and we just want to present our hearts to you and ask you to speak to us, Lord. Come and show us more of yourself. We ask you this, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Welcome to take your seat. I trust that you found a seat. Why don't you just turn to someone and tell them one thing you are grateful for at this time. Just share with someone. Maybe it's a family member sitting next to you, maybe a stranger. Just take a moment and say, I am thankful for. You know, there's a few things as beautiful to me as just looking at God's people and seeing you all shine. I remember when I was a student there, Shofar was the first charismatic church to make waves on the campus of Stellenbosch, and we often were lies and fear, doubt, uncertainty and doubt was spread around Shofar. And one of the things that people said about Shofar was that only beautiful people go to that church. And I thought, man, that's a compliment. And so this morning, I just want to say, only beautiful people come here, because I just see you shining for the Lord, you know. Let's just give the Lord a clap. We are privileged to be together. It's really, really a privilege to be together like this. You know, we're making music, and I just want to honor you guys also, the band and the sound and audiovisual for mate. Yeah. The sound of our worship need not be hidden, like in many places on earth, you know. People come together and they pray in silence because they will be persecuted. No, the sound of our worship flows down the street, you know. It's just a privilege. When we worship here, the people that's at the market, they hear, there's a testimony that goes out. I'm just excited about being part of God's house at this time. Let me just pray for a second before I go on. Father, as we join here, we join as a church, we join as a body that you have assembled and that you continue to assemble in a way so that this body can function well together. And at the very same time, all these members in this body are also individuals with a unique walk with you, Lord. And I want to pray for each and everyone, Lord, this morning to connect with you in a way which you long for them to connect with you. But I pray that each one will be connected personally with you this morning as we are together. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, and I pray that your word will come alive to us this morning. Amen. This morning I want to preach out of Hebrews 4, verse 7 to 16. And the question I want to attempt to answer out of the scripture is a statement or a question that this scripture asks. The statement more is that you and I, we must enter the rest of God. And we'll see as we go on, it's almost like saying the peace of God. To find peace with God as a man on earth. How do we do that? How do we do that? That is a very important question to ask. Because I know that there was a day when I was about 18 years old that I came before the Lord in a very strange church back then. I didn't want to go to that church. It was a charismatic church, but it was one of those with rockets. And you know there's somebody Villekerk, man. They're always small also. So it's like all the tunnies, you know, they come and greet you, and then all 15 of them, they're going to go flat out in this service. And there I am. I just felt out of place. Everything in my 18-year-old heart wanted to run out the door. But that day, I had an appointment with the Lord. And I remember going on my knees. I did not plan it. I'm not an overly emotional person, but I started to cry. And it was the day planned by God which he would meet me. The young man, we think maybe our children, they're just children, they'll shake it off. I was dealing with a lot of torment, you know, the opposite of rest and peace. Even as a young man, I remember I had a scooter, a puchi, don't tell anyone. And I would drive to school and to different places. And I remember at that time, my heart was running faster than the speedometer. I was trying to find my place in that world, in this world. And something happened that day when the peace of the Lord came to rest on me. There's a rest for the people of God. But now, being God's child, there's ever so often days, times, maybe even months, when the rest of God is not on me in a way I desire. Who knows what I'm talking about? It's almost like a little bit of a... You remember our old televisions? We used to tune the TVs, you know, then it's like gray and then there's these lines. And you're trying to find the channel because the young kids who played cricket, they went to fetch the ball on the roof and they hang on the antenna. And now that thing is on the roof like that and no one can watch the news. When you put the TV on, it goes like this. Who remember those days? Yes. Dan sit jy maar tape in. And sometimes our hearts act like that. I visited a very dear friend of mine. I visited his dad in a mental institution because he collapsed. And I saw a man with the opposite of this. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart to see a grandfather who truly believes he's a bad father. He's a bad grandpa, father. He did not provide enough. He did not make enough of a time when his children was young. What is that? It is a man in torment. What is the rest of God? That might sound like an extreme. I think what God is asking of us is to move into his full peace even though maybe the extreme is not true for you, but once that television, once your heart is off and it goes like this, normally it leads to from one bad thing to the next, one bad decision to a worse, one bad relationship to the next, until we find our peace with God again. That is what I'm after in this service. Let's read together. We're coming in Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 7. The author have been speaking even before this a little about, a bit about the rest of God. We're falling in here, but I will handle it for us. I'll take us there and put it in context. Again, he appoints a day, a certain day, today, saying through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, in the days of Joshua, the words came to the people, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Okay, in the days of Joshua. But David lived, Joshua lived about, I think, 1,200 before Christ. David lived about 1,000 before Christ. Oh, more or less, I might be off. But David lived after Joshua, and the words came again. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And here we are in Hebrews again. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So what we see is there's a constant invitation from God to his people to enter his rest, to do not harden their hearts. Are you with me? Very important. Now let's go on. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. Again, okay. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. I'm not going to dissect that too deep, but I'm just going to tell you this rest in verse 10 does not speak about passivity. It speaks about a rest in coming to terms with the sin that's on your life. And the fight we put up to try and make ourselves right in this world, to deal with the torment on ourselves. When we connect with God in the right way, we rest in that regard. Are you with me? The struggle is now over in me trying to make myself right. There's a different work I engage in now, the fruit of my salvation. Okay, but let's go on. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Now look where the author goes. Enter that rest. Enter that rest. Strive to enter that rest. Very next verse, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He speaks about rest, and then suddenly, here makes the appearance a verse we often remember when it speaks, we often hear quoted when it speaks about the Word of God, which that is, it states that the Word of God is so amazing, but let's just see where it fits in. It follows this idea of strive to enter his rest. Here's the Word of God, and this is what it does. Let's go on. Verse 13, no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed in the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Okay, it speaks about accountability. It speaks about our lives, and the nature of our lives is that it is transparent before the eyes of God. Can you see that? No creature is hidden from his sight. You are maybe towards people, and I am maybe towards people, a closed book. But before him, I am an open book. No creature is hidden. Can you see that? Let's go on. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Question we are trying to answer is, how do we enter that rest? Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Right, that's our passage. Now, let's hit a few things here. How to enter the rest of God. Let's talk about the rest of God for a moment before we ask ourselves, how do we obtain it? If we go to that next slide, the rest of God can be spoken of as the peace of God. Okay. It's a rest, a peace, a grace from the Lord that comes to rest on a person in a way that testifies to the person himself, I am right with God, and it is actually visible from the outside. People would say, even unbelievers would say, there's something different about this person. There's something they carry, and I don't quite know what it is. Sometimes believers will pick it up and say, man, the peace of God is really evident on you. Or we might use words like, I can sense God's anointing on you. I sense the heart of God in you. These are languages we're trying to use to explain that something of God has rested on a person and it is evident. Are you with me? That's why it's important that we go and work in all different places all over the town, because we carry something that's visible, that everyone can see. Now, God's rest, let's just talk about it a little bit, because Scripture speaks about the same type of rest in different stages. Now, the rest of God is better explained as a tree than as a rock, as a cliff, okay? Because a tree is something that if you come back to it 5 years later, you'll find the same tree, but it will look different. Are you with me? Okay, now the rest of God functions in that way, in that it is already here on earth for us to strive to enter into. Are you with me? But when Jesus comes back for the final time, and the new heavens and the new earth is birthed and we walk in, that rest now looks a lot different. It is now complete. Okay, Revelation 21 speaks about a time where God wipes away every tear and death will be no more. Now, the way in which the rest of God, it is still God's rest, the way in which I experience God's rest now is very precious to me. But it is like a tree. It will grow and it will be extremely different and complete once I meet you all in the new earth. Are you with me? Now, that is important to know. The rest of God is dynamic. It grows and it moves and it will find its full state in the future. So in one way, we can look at God's rest through two windows. If we look from earth, from where we are, and we read the word and we see Jesus and we see the promises, we see there will be a day when we all will find new bodies after the likeness of Christ. When he was risen, he received a new body. He's a first seed. We will be like him after his resurrection. Did you know that? Okay, he's a pattern for you and me. All right. Now, one day, when we walk onto the new earth, we look towards that day and we say, man, I can't wait to see my grandfather. I can't wait to get a new hip. Right, I can't wait not to have to deal with mosquitoes or whatever it is, all right? But we look forward towards a very unique rest. It is the city that is to come, that will never perish. Are you with me? But in the same way, at this moment, as the saints are looking from down from heaven with the angels, and they look across the earth, and they see people. Some people on earth has a measure of the rest of God on them and some not. And so even from heaven's perspective, that rest is reaching onto planet earth. It's touching earth. Are you with me? And here we are, and the scripture says, make sure that you strive to have that rest on you. Okay, that's what we are after. How do I find peace with the Lord here? Now, let's just get a very important clue here. I'm reading from verse 5. Again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest, Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. So it's speaking about some entered the rest, some did not enter the rest. And then, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Now what you see here is what we can call a parallelism in scripture. It's taking two truths and putting it parallel. And what the writer is saying here is, some people entered the rest, some did not. And then he goes on and he says, like it was quoted, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. What is he saying by putting those two things together? He is saying, this is our first clue, that a hardened heart cannot enter the rest of God. Praying, Lord, I want to enter your rest or your peace. Or praying, Lord, I really pray for a soft heart towards you. It's the same prayer. Can you see that? What we see here is if I harden my heart, if I stiffen my neck towards the Lord, I am stepping out of a place where his peace and rest dwells with me. Man cannot have a stiff neck towards God and peace with God. Those two things cannot move together. Are you with me? Okay, so the question then is, okay, how do I enter your rest, Lord? And how do I obtain a soft heart? It's the same question. It's very important for us. It's very important that we ask this question and discover the answers. It could be the same question. It's on the screen there. How do I enter the rest of God? How do I soften my heart towards God? Now, I'm going to give you the answers and then we're going to explore it. The answer for both these is the work of the Word and the work of the Son. And it's in this passage. The work of the Word and the work of Jesus the Son is what helps us having a soft heart and enter the rest of God. Let's see how this works. Verse 11. I'm just leading you into verse 12 here. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Strive to enter that rest. Okay, that's the goal. We want to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For, because here comes the word of God. It is the answer to the dilemma of verse 11. Here's your answer. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of discerning the thoughts and intention of the hard heart, or discerning the thoughts and intentions of the soft heart. What this scripture is saying to us is that the Word of God is dynamic. It goes to work on the hearts of humans. But the Word of God, when it reaches my heart tonight or tomorrow morning, or you tonight or tomorrow morning or right now, when the Word of God, imagine that it arrives like a soldier on a mission to accomplish all these things. When it arrives on your heart, is your heart hard or is your heart soft towards him? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, because the Word of God cannot accomplish all it can do on a stiff heart. It is like reading the Huisgenoot of no purpose and delight. When the Word of God arrives on your heart, will he find a soft heart or will he find a hard heart? Because that will tell us whether you will experience his peace and rest or be at odds with yourself and with God. How do you enter the rest of God? It's a question we are answering. Let me tell you something about this verse. Now, in the Christian community, we might say, this is a wonderful verse, and it is a wonderful verse, but I'm telling you, this verse is at odds with what's going on in the world. It is at war, and I'll tell you why. In the world right now, the system, the idols, everyone out there is trying to be a picture person or poster person for your children to tell them, don't let anyone or anything tell you who you are. You tell them. Whatever you dream, you do it. If you try hard enough, you can do what. Don't let your parents stand in your way. You must do it. Don't let Tani Yolandi or the children's church tell you who you are. You tell them what you want. And then you say, I've got rights. They are teaching us, the world, the powers and the prince of the air is teaching also us. Don't be unaware, because it comes through the television. It's teaching us to pick up the finger. The problem here is, it says when the word of God arrives on you, it will discern for you what is in your heart. And then as it works on you, dividing, helping, discerning, it will show you areas of your heart that you must humble, yield, or correct before the Lord. Not wave the finger. Now what the hard heart will do is subconsciously, it will not yield. It will find a way to stay hard. The soft heart, in essence, acknowledge that something from the Lord comes from without me to help me with what's really going on in me and enables me to become soft like clay before the Lord, and his peace falls on me. When the word of the Lord arrives on your heart, what does it find there? A heart that is already decided, I will not change that. That's a stiff heart. So the first thing, how do we enter the rest of God? Humbly yield to the work of God's word on your heart. Now, listen, this might sound like common sense. I'll tell you, common sense is then very important. There was a pastor in New York or Los Angeles. He's a famous guy. He cheated on his wife during the time of the lockdown. Okay, so these things happen. I know. These things should not happen, but they do. They happen because of closed off hearts. That's why they happen. Because I know what the word of God does. It's what it says in this verse. It goes to work on my heart. Now, once I start on a journey that will lead me to the destination that pastor ended up, even if I start there with my thoughts and I am in the word goes to work on my heart. Do you know that? And it starts to whisper to me, Vanna, where you are leading your thoughts and your heart right now, yield, bring it back in. Are you with me? Bring it back in. The word of God and the Holy Spirit, which makes it life, is what protects your marriage. The word of God is what's helping you to walk upright before the Lord. The word of God is constantly willing to be involved on your heart. If you would have a soft heart, you will hear it clearly. And God will help you long before you get to that destination where you say, oh, how did I end up here? I wish I never ended up here. He will help you. Step one, when you go off course, he'll say, start to work in you. Isn't that true? He is faithful. I want to challenge you, and I think Scripture is challenging us here. Do not go to the Word with a posture where your heart has already decided, you will decide what it means. Go to the Word with a posture where you say, Lord, let your Word read me today and show me how I must walk before you. That is the first step of entering a peace and a rest that is not normal in this world, because it comes out of heaven and it touches in here the people of God. The writer of Hebrews says, strive to enter that rest. Strive. Your life hangs on it. Your testimony is empowered by it. The fact that Jesus comes and makes a home with you. Fight for it. Amen. Now the question here is, what if I read the Word? What if I read, and if you're really honest, all of us, most of the time when we read the Word, we see Jesus and how incredible He is, what He did, and we see how short we fall. If we read the Bible with a humble heart, we are opened and awakened to the sin on our hearts and on our lives, right? If everyone, let's be honest, if everyone should know your every thought, you'd be ashamed. Come on. If they were just out there. Because here's the truth, we've got wandering hearts. And Scripture speaks about it. One day they will be complete like that tree. But for now, if we are honest, if the Word gets full access to us, we'd often say, man, I am so shy about the condition of my heart. How's that peace? That's what you should ask here. How's it? Can we go back to verse 12? You should ask at this moment, how is it peace if the Word of God comes and discerns all the chacha in my heart? But how's that peace? I'm learning of everything I'm doing wrong. That's not peace. I rather want to conceal it. It's because what we need is the work of the Word and the work of the Son together. So let's go on to verse 13, because it follows on verse 12. It says the following. Since we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Okay, in verse 12, the writer of Hebrews tells us what the Word does when it works on your heart. Sorry, verse 13 is the one that says nothing is hidden from God. Okay, verse 14, the writer goes over. That's what the Word did. Here's what the Son did for you. We do not have a high priest, verse 15, who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace. There's your peace. There it is. To help in time of need. The work of the Word and the work of the Son work together. First, the Word comes and it shines lights in all those areas. We will, no, not here. Don't ask that question. Don't shine the light there. Oh, not this again. I really thought I put that under the rug forever. And here God comes through His Spirit, through the Word, and He is on that thing again. And you're like, oh. That is normal if you experience that. That means He's engaging your soft heart. Now, once He has lifted up, once He has showed you things about your heart, let's say, for example, you realize that you are an unkind person. I'm just using, I'm not thinking of any one of you. Maybe a few. You realize, okay, that you've been unkind. Now it's only you and the Word, and you've now realized that you've been acting like a brat. Okay, that's not nice to hear or to experience in that moment. But now You must carry it to the one who was kind. And let's go back. Who was kind and gracious in his full work for you, and submit it before him. Then you receive mercy and grace for your sin in exchange for his righteousness. That is the work of a son. Now, because we know what the son as intercessor did and is still doing in heaven for us, you and I, you don't have to fear of what you will learn when the word reads you. That is what it means. If the son has set you free, you are now free to learn about your sin, to learn about this mistake, that thing. You are now free. Because when you hear it, what do? You take it to verse 14 to 16. You say, Lord, I learned once again about myself. That I am, to say it in plain words, unloving. Man, will you wash me? Because you were loving and he is your substitute. And he washes you and clothes you with mercy. Strive to enter that rest. Strive to enter that rest. Can you see what it means to have a living relationship with Jesus? It's very active. It's very alive. It's not only a song. It's a song that goes out and in and it lives. All right? It's not only an event, church. It's a battle. Reading the word, it's different than reading the Huisgenoot, okay? Because the word goes to work and it stirs up all those things in your heart. And then you take it again to the one who stands in your place. That's what it means to have a living relationship with Jesus, to be delivered of the fear of being corrected by the word. And sometimes, the word of God, it speaks to more of just the logos. The word of God sometimes comes to you through your friend. And you hate your friend in that moment. Because the word he brings is not one of those, you know, like, yes, next year God will bless you so much. It is one of the words that comes to you and say, you know what, when you spoke to me yesterday, I felt belittled by you. That could be the Lord stirring in your heart. And now, will you be stiff-necked? Yeah, but you should understand, or will you say, if I'm honest, I tend to do that. Man, I'm sorry. For the sake of our relationship, please forgive me. But also understand, I need to go to my substitute now and talk about this also. You have a living relationship with the Lord. How do you enter the rest of God? You humbly yield to the work of the word on your heart. We can go to that next slide. And then you carry the work of the word on your heart to your Savior that dealt with it on the cross. You are now in a living relationship with the Lord. A church that is equipped to deal with their sins in that kind of humility, God can send many unsaved people in, many sinners, because they're not judged. They're just welcome to a practice here. Hey, here's what we do. We learn from the word and we carry it to the Savior. And we worship him because we remember all those times when we carry these broken hearts to him. And the only thing we receive for it is peace and love. Rest. That's why we love him. That's why we worship him. You are welcome. Just to play with that idea, a church, and let's be aware, like this. A nose as high as this shows a hard heart. It shows an elevated heart. An outstretched hand. It's a testimony, soft heart before the Lord. Also welcome. What are we fighting for? Let's do it. Amen. It's my heart for us to get this, that the word of the Lord empowered by the Spirit will speak the loudest in this church. We often talk about it, myself and Andres. It is, I know both of us sometimes would wish that the word can come without us being in the way. Let the word come and work on us. Amen. I want us to share communion this morning. Some of you received at the door, but we want to hand out to everyone. So if you can put up your hand, we'll quickly get communion to you. And if your hand gets a little bit lump, just put the other one up until there's something in your hand. Yeah. To those in front, we're almost here. The elements are on the way. Thank you so much. Here's just a kind warning. If you pull the bottom part off too fast, you're going to spill this red juice on all over yourself, so you can open it up slowly, but open the top part first. Yeah, there you'll find a cracker, and then very cautiously you can open the bottom one. This morning, as we enjoy communion together, I'd like us to remember this active relationship with Jesus, which facilitates us into his rest. And I do want to say it for myself and for many of us here today, when you hear his voice, soften your heart. Soften your heart before him. Yield your heart to the word. Give the word of God the place in your life where it reads you, dissects you, where it can tell you and show you and help you discern what's in there. Then work on your living room. Don't get up from reading the word too fast. Okay? Don't discover and run. Discover and pray. Discover what's in there for you and ask, what does it mean for me? And then go to the cross. Say, Lord, as I'm reading this, I understand it's saying this about me and this is where I need to be. Forgive me of my sins and then help me, equip me to please you, to live a life. It is my aim that we become, that we grow in this area and that we, I'd love, never mind what people say about us, we can say about ourselves, these people love the Lord and they love his word. That name Jesus, that's the main name for those people in that congregation. That's my goal. Let's eat the cracker together. We remember Jesus. We remember your perfect work for us. And each time the Father investigated your heart and discerned it, it was pure, without blemish, pleasing to the Father. And that gets substituted to me. I remember today. Help us to have a living relationship with you, Lord. And Lord, we remember your blood that was supposed to be our blood. I was supposed to die for my sins, not you, but you came. So that I, every one of us, can receive mercy and grace when we go to him and not judgment. We remember your blood and we celebrate it this morning here together. Let's drink together. I want you to do something very brave. I want you to ask someone sitting next to you or invade someone's space that's sitting close to you and ask them, do you know what it feels like to experience the peace of the Lord? Ask them that question. Do you know what it feels like to experience the peace of the Lord? And if you want to, you can offer to pray together with that person. I'm going to give you 3 minutes for that. If you are a member here and you see someone sitting alone, would you be brave just to move your chair to make sure that everyone has just someone to connect with? I want to give over to Vian just to tell everyone what's going on around here. I just want to honor you for this morning. I could really sense people were engaged and listening and allowing the Lord just to come and touch and work on your heart. So I just want to honor you and thanks for taking the word when it's preached and putting it to work on your life. Thanks, Vian.
Thank you, Pastor Werner, for that message. It's a real privilege to be blessed with God's word and to be ministered by God's word as he uses it. If it's your first time here with us, we'd love to welcome you, give you a welcome pack. In there you'll find information about us. There's an info card that you can fill out, and please leave at the connect table or in the offering box. If it's your first time here, can you please raise your hand in 3, 2, 1? Just keep them up. There's a fiance. Let's give them a hand, everyone. Just keep your hands up until you've received the welcome pack. There's another hand over here in the middle. If you can just keep them up until you receive a welcome pack. Thank you so much. Small groups, we as a church love to fellowship in small groups during the week. Here we grow in our relationship with God and with each other as we grow in our community. We've got various small groups running during the week. There's a board at the back where you can familiarize yourself with the various small groups. If it's on your heart, you can give your name up at the connect table and we will encourage you to take your next step. Amplified Youth is on Thursdays at 6 p.m. here in the main building. It's beautiful to see God working in the next generation, and we encourage you to send your teenagers to come and be a part of God's movement. We as a church love to pray together. Intercession is every Thursday at 9 a.m. here in the main building, and on before the first service on Sundays at 7:30 in the admin building. You are more than welcome to join. Just please take note of a few upcoming events. Our Connect Evening is on April the 11th. It's a Monday at 6:30 here in the main building. Here we have a couch session with the eldership where we can ask them questions, get to know them more, and just interact and see what Shofar is all about and how we serve the kingdom. There will be a registration link to follow, so please take note of that. Golden Youth is this Thursday. It's the 7th of April. It's at 9 a.m. And please, you are welcome to join. Then we have got a women's event on the 22nd of April. If it's on your heart to help or to pray together, you can contact Lisa. Her number is on the screen. And you can also ask at the connect table for further information. There's a men's day the next day on the 23rd of April. Please note in your calendar, save the date, as that will be exciting how we as men in the community will get together and fellowship together. We've got a caring team that's running. There's already a few people that put their hands up and given their names, and it's beautiful to see the heart of God's body ministering to each other. If that is you and you want to pray for the sick or visit the older people, please give your name at the connect table at the back and we will contact you. Baptisms is happening each Sunday, so if it's on your heart to be baptized, you're more than welcome to make yourself known, and we would love to walk a journey with you. Ukraine donations, we've got the details on the screen and also at the back. There's Relief Life's banking details. Please note, when you do make donations, to make Ukraine as a reference. Then there's a message from Ukraine of all the people there that's serving God, thanking us for our contributions and our prayer, and it's beautiful to see how we serve the body of Christ. We got a WhatsApp group. Please save the number on your phone, under your contacts, and send a message with your name, and we will add you to the broadcast list where you'll receive links, information on what is happening during the week. Our offering baskets are at the door, and we also have SnapScan facility. Please feel free to use them as you please. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, and God bless you. Next Sunday.